It's a shocking statistic. Suicide is the second most common cause of death today among young people. We know it's preventable, but where do we even start? Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones, Executive Director at SCAN of Northern Virginia, and my guest today is Wendy Gradison, President and CEO at PRS Incorporated, a nonprofit providing mental health services throughout Northern Virginia and in the District of Columbia. Welcome, Wendy.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Today we'll be discussing mental health in teenagers, how to prevent suicide, and what parents and other adults can do to help support teens in crisis. So can you give us an overview of the current state of teens and mental health and teen suicide and what some of the reality is?
Absolutely. You know, we know that mental health conditions have become more widely recognized, and we know that 1 in 5 young people do struggle with mental health issues. We don't know if this increase in mental health diagnoses is actually because there is an increase in mental health problems, or it could be because there's been a lot of stigma reduction efforts to help more young people seek help. And as you said, suicide is the leading cause of death, the second leading cause of death in young people, including those of college age. So while proportionately the number of suicide deaths is not at an epidemic level, it's more concerning that so many young people are not yet connected to mental health care. And we know that the reality is that a suicide death is too late. And it means that we have work to do much earlier. So if you think about suicide prevention as a river, most of our efforts are at the point of being too far downstream, to the point of a person perhaps going over the edge of a waterfall. But what is needed to truly prevent suicide is to begin our efforts much farther upstream, teaching young people how to cope. We need to offer resources before crisis hits and ensure that evidence-based practice is utilized to help young people. So there's parent education, family and school support, peer programs. And I would say in the areas of human development, we really want to make sure that throughout life, starting at a young age, in addition to the cognitive approaches that the schools focus on, that's the academic, we want to make sure that they're also focusing in families and schools on social, emotional, and physical needs. You know, the crisis centers and the hotlines and the text lines, they're really important, but prevention, skill building, coping skills, all that has to begin long before a crisis.
Well, let's talk about further upstream then. What as parents should we be looking for? How can we be more aware of our teens' mental health needs?
You know, it's tricky because teens, adolescents, it's a tumultuous time and we see some interesting behaviors at those ages. So it can be really challenging to separate what's normal adolescent behavior from emerging mental health issues. So I do have a couple of thoughts about what parents might look for. You want to look for extreme isolation from the family or sudden changes in mood. You want to stay engaged and communicate with your teens and ask questions that give you a sense of mood and thinking. You want to be looking for thought patterns that seem odd or bizarre and not connected to reality. I mean, we know kids talk about fantasies and those are related to video games and movies and comics, but you want to make sure that those conversations are grounded and related to real events, such as what's happening in the school or the family. You want to ask about drug use. You want to talk to other people about your teens. So you want to get feedback from their friends' parents, from their teachers when you might have a concern. And parents should also pay attention to any talk about wanting to die. Are young people cutting themselves or burning themselves? Is your gut telling you that you should be worried because they have withdrawn from everyone and everything? They seem more anxious. They seem unusually angry. They just don't seem normal to you. And I do want to mention a website that I think is helpful for parents to know about if there are concerns, and that's www.youthsuicidewarningsigns.org, because that can help you see what some of those issues might be.
Great resource. Let's talk about the resources that are available to parents when they do have concerns. What does PRS do and who do you serve?
Right. So PRS, we've been around for 53 years. And we provide services, as you said, in Northern Virginia and in Washington, D.C. And PRS stands for Psychiatric Rehabilitation Services. And what that means is we're not the docs. We're not the traditional 50-minute therapists. What we are very special staff who provide skill training and supports to help young people and adults recover and regain their lives. So we help them through, for example, supported employment, helping people choose, get, and keep jobs, through our community supports, helping folks in their housing, maintaining their medication, their budgets. We have day programs for folks who want to move forward and in integrating into their communities. And we have a 24/7 crisis and suicide prevention hotline and text line. And the people we serve include folks 16 and older who live with a mental illness, with a substance use disorder, a mild intellectual disability, autism spectrum disorders, or anyone who faces life crises.
That seems very comprehensive. If you're just joining us, this is Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, along with Wendy Gradison from PRS, and we're discussing mental health in teens, and in particular, suicide prevention. So talk a little bit about the specific services PRS provides teens and why specific services for teens are so important.
Sure. Well, so about 2 years ago, PRS Crisis Link launched its crisis text line service. It's called Crisis Text Connect, and it's particularly focused on teens and young adults. However, it's available to anyone who has a cell phone. And let me just right now put out there how to reach us. If you text the word connect to 85511, 24/7, 365, there's somebody there to help. If you prefer the phone, which most young people don't, there is a hotline number, and that's 1-800-273-8255. And the reason we launched this text line was an effort to reach youth who face a wide variety of issues, relationship problems, abuse, eating disorders, self-injury, suicidal thoughts, bullying, trauma, all those issues about who they want to be, their identification, gender identity, sexual orientation that emerging young adults are experiencing. I also wanted to add that we know that about 80% of teens contemplating suicide want others to know about it and want others to stop them. And that's why it's critical to have another outlet to help them. It's hard to educate the public, and there's so much stigmatization because people don't want to come out with their mental health issues. And that's why we want folks to reach out to us. We know that young adults have difficult situations both at school and home, and they probably aren't going to use a hotline, but we know that a typical teen sends and receives 30 texts per day, those number of messages, and this gives the teens the flexibility they might need.
Okay. And do you distinguish between services for teens and services for young adults?
Well, we do have on the hotline and the text line, the very highly trained staff and volunteers there work with all ages. So, you know, parents, young people, just give us a call or a text. But we also have some other programs specifically geared for young adults. These are called coordinated specialty care programs, and we operate them in concert with our local community services boards, which are our county governments. One program is called Turning Point, and that's with the Fairfax Falls Church Community Services Board. And then another is called Link, which is linking individuals and navigating care with the Loudoun County Community Services Board. And these programs are designed to help adolescents and young adults, very specific population, who are age 16 up to 30, who are experiencing a first psychotic episode. So the goal of Link and of Turning Point is to help these young people and their families understand and manage symptoms of mental illness, also build skills. It supports them to be successful in work and school and life in general.
Great. And we know September is Suicide Prevention Month, so that's an important opportunity to get more people talking about this issue. What do you all have planned to raise awareness in September?
Well, as we said, suicide is the second most common cause of death among young adults. So we are really focused on our new our project called Hashtag Minds Matter. And it's a social media initiative that's designed to encourage our community to speak out about suicide prevention and about mental health. So we're asking people to take a pledge and commit to participating in very simple activities that make a difference and spread awareness. This would be before, during, and after National Suicide Prevention Week, which is September 5th to 11th. And details about the campaign, we hope you'll go check it out. And a link to the online pledge are at www.prsinc.org/mindsmatter. And some of the activities you can choose include following us on Facebook and Twitter, buying a hashtag Minds Matter t-shirt and wearing it for a selfie during National Suicide Prevention Week. We want to see those pictures. You could walk with one of our teams at either the National Alliance for Mental Illness Northern Virginia Walk, which is at Tyson's Corner on September 24th, or the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention Loudoun or Fairfax Community Walks in September.
Sounds like you've got a lot going on. And we often look for ways to have sort of conversation starters between parents and their teens. And I'm thinking September being Suicide Prevention Month could also be one of those conversation starters that parents could use if they've been wanting to bring up a conversation with their young person and just haven't sort of known how to inquire. Do you have any other tips you want to leave with parents about starting that conversation if they have a concern?
I would say don't be shy. Don't let it go underground. You know, sometimes people are afraid to ask their young person if they're really struggling, are you thinking of hurting yourself? They are afraid that if they ask, that's going to put the idea in the young person's head. Well, it doesn't. It doesn't put the idea in their head. It helps them begin to have the conversation. So I would say to be bold, to ask, to be accepting, to offer resources.
And one final sort of twist on that is when suicides do happen in our schools, I think a lot of people worry about sort of that having a contagious effect. So if you're a parent who's had a young person who's heard about or knows someone who's committed suicide, what tips do you offer parents for how to talk about that?
Well, there are definitely conversations that will be going on in the schools. Get in touch with your school counselors, your guidance counselors to have those conversations. Make sure the conversations are staying above board so that you can dialogue with the young person about what they're experiencing. And call or text us. As a parent, we want you to feel really comfortable letting us know that you're really worried and asking us for tips that can help you right now.
Great. We have just about a minute left, and I want to make sure you repeat both the how to text as well as the website that folks can, who might have not had a pencil and paper when you first mentioned it.
Right. There are a couple of websites.
Okay.
So our website where you can learn more about all of these services and the coordinated specialty care services is www.prsinc.org. And then, of course, if you want to text our crisis link, it's to text the word CONNECT to 85511, and that hotline number is 1-800-273-8255. Another piece is this youthsuicidewarningsigns.org website. I think that's really helpful for people to know about as well.
Thank you, Wendy. Caring for a teenager's mental health is just as important as caring for his or her physical health. In a world where depression, anxiety, bullying, and so many other challenges face our young people, parents play a critical role in staying connected to kids, as well as keeping them connected to other supports, resources, and caring adults. Teen suicide is a growing and complicated reality, and prevention begins every time we connect with the teenagers in our lives. This has been Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and I want to thank iHeartMedia and Wendy Gradison from PRS Inc. for joining me to talk about this important topic. Remember, kids need connections. We are all responsible for connecting with the children in our communities, and we can each help all families thrive. For more information about teen mental health and suicide prevention, as well as other parenting topics, please visit the SCAN website at scanva.org.